Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. We're going to jump into our series that we've been in. Today's the last Sunday of this series called Stories. And what we've been doing is we've just been walking through the different parables that Jesus taught as he walked the earth. And Jesus would use these stories to help people understand this is what you need to strive for. This is how you need to strive to live. And he wasn't saying like you have to be perfect, but he's telling people, you know, this is what the kingdom of God. If you want to be a follower of Christ, then strive for these things. And so if you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 12. We'll be there just for a few minutes today. And the title of this parable is The Rich Fool. The Rich Fool. Now, I want to start today with this question. As I was studying and just the Lord just kept kind of bringing this question to my heart and my mind. And I'm going to give you a lot of notes today. And if you're a note taker, I want to encourage you to write it down. It'll be here on the screen. Maybe you're not. Maybe you just take a picture of it and go back and look later. But the question I want to start out with today is it's kind of a tough one. It's kind of in your face, but here it is. Has your relationship with God changed the way that you handle money? Has your relationship with God changed the way that you handle money? Now, I know for some of you, you're like, oh, we're going to talk about money. And today is just, it's way, 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 way much more about money. That's not even the point of this message. But I want you to think about it. The way that you spend money, the way that you save money, the way that you use it, the way that you stress over it, the way that you are anxious about it, the way that you obsess over it. Has your relationship with God changed anything about the way you handle money? Now, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, maybe you're here this morning and you just came because somebody invited you or somebody drug you here, this is probably going to be a little bit new today. But for those of you that know a little bit about the Bible, you know the Bible speaks a lot about money, right? And he has a lot to say. And so it's like, has it truly changed you? What God's word says, has it brought in? If I'm being honest, and by the way, you're the only one who knows if you're being honest or not. If I'm being honest, do I still spend and save and stress the same way that I always have? Or has God's word and ways changed me? I think those types of questions hit at the heart of what Jesus is getting to here in this parable of the rich fool. And so let me do this. Let me invite you to stand together and honor the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 12. We're just going to read a few verses here. An incredible, incredible story. And I think there's a lot of truths that we can pull out this morning. So we're going to begin reading in verse 13 here. So Jesus is teaching. And the Bible says this. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." "Friend," he said to them, "who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Verse 15, he then told them, "Watch out, be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions." Then he told him this parable. Now here's the story. A rich man's land was very productive, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? Since I don't have anywhere to store my crops, I will do this," he said. "I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I'll store all my grain and my goods there." Verse 19, "Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself." Verse 20, "But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And that's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Father, bless the reading of your word. Use it in a mighty, mighty way today. In Jesus' name, amen. You could be seated. So let me give you a little context real quick. Getting up to this story, Jesus was here and he was just finished up teaching on the value that God puts on us. He was teaching everybody, man, this is what it means to be a follower of God. And he was telling them, this is what it means to stand up for him and his ways. But not everybody who was listening heard what Jesus had to say. Kind of like today, some of you will listen. We all hear the same message, but we're all going to walk out of here probably a little bit different, right? And so there was a guy here that asks Jesus, hey, I need you to settle an inheritance dispute. And he says, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, let me just, again, give you a little bit of context. In this day, according to the law, the oldest brother would get two-thirds of the inheritance. The younger brother would get one-third of the inheritance, okay? And so that's just the way it was. Notice that this man did not ask Jesus to hear both sides of the story and then make a judgment, right? He just wanted his side. He just wanted Jesus to take side with him. Hey, tell my brother that he needs to be fair to me. And so he really wasn't looking for justice. It was really a fight over money, right? It was really a fight over, man, I want more stuff. He gets that. I should get more, right? And so he has this kind of battle going on in his with Jesus, trying to get Jesus on his side. So Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. And he responds to this story with a challenge to rethink money, to rethink wealth, to rethink possessions, to let faith transform our habits. And so when Jesus begins to talk, he starts talking about something you and I probably don't want to think about. He starts talking about greed. Now, if I was to ask you today, raise your hand if you're greedy. How many hands do you think would go up this morning? Probably not very many, right? Not many of us are going, yeah, I'm greedy. Yeah, that's me, right? And greed is not something that we like to talk about. But Jesus here in verse 15, look what he says. He says, watch out and be on guard against all greed. Well, what does that really mean? Like, we've heard definitions, but what does that really mean? And I feel like I wanted to give something, and if you've been here for a while, you know I just like to give little nuggets and takeaways, things that mean a lot to me. And the best way that I can understand greed is greed always wants just a little bit more. That's what greed is. It always wants just a little bit more. Greed tricks us into thinking, man, if I just had some more money, my life would be better. If I just had some more toys, some more stuff, some more vacations, life would be better. One way that I think you and I can gauge whether or not we have greed in our hearts, it's very simple. Look at your gratitude. Like notice the gratitude in your life. Not just do you say thank you when people do nice things for you, but gratitude towards the Lord, is that something that you find yourself frequently thinking about? Is gratitude something that you find yourself frequently talking about or praying about? Because when greed sets in, gratitude goes away. Gratitude leaves our lives. And even think about it like this. The gratitude towards things that we already have begins to lessen when we see greed come in. The pleasure is gone. It doesn't mean to me as much anymore. And what we begin to do is we just begin to strive for the next thing. And so Jesus says, be on guard. Now, I love the thought of be on guard. If I was to tell you, hey, there's word on the street that somebody's going to break into your house tonight, right? They're coming. I don't know what time they're coming, but there's 10 guys and they're coming to break into your house and you need to be on guard. What are you going to do? Most of you in the room, you're going to lock every door. You're going to lock every window. Probably going to get some weapons out. You're probably going to call some of your buddies over, right? And we're going to get these dudes. They ain't robbing me, right? You're going to be on guard. You're going to be peeking out the curtains. You're going to be looking. You're not just going to go to bed, right? And so here's Jesus. He's saying, be on guard. You need to be looking. You need to be making sure you know what's going on, and you need to make sure that there's no greed in your life. And so he gives this first statement, be on guard against greed. But why? Why do we need to be on guard against greed? Look at this, verse 15. Because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. Why do I need to be on guard against greed? Why do I need to make sure that my life isn't about stuff? Because our life is not in the abundance of our possessions. Jesus says real life comes from God, not from your stuff. Not from how much you own, not from your possessions. One biblical scholar said it like this. I love this quote. He says, if each of them learned the real meaning of life and sought as its chief endeavor to be rich toward God, the questions of possessions would settle itself. The one would be eager to share while the other would be careless about receiving. So before Jesus even tells the parable, he kind of gives the whole point of the story, right? He gives the takeaway. He's like, here's what I want you to understand. And so this is where we're going to sit today, right? Just for a few minutes. This is what I want to talk about. Because the rich man, his plan, let's be honest, it was a pretty good business plan. Let's harvest a bunch of crops, right? Let's build some really big barns. Let's put it all in there. And then let's just sit back, retire, and have fun, right? It's all there. We're going to do all the work. And then now it's good. It's a pretty good plan. But I want you to notice something. All of the man's plans were about his mission. It wasn't about God's mission. Notice that nothing that he said had anything to do with what God. He planned for retirement, but he didn't plan for eternity. And so because all of his plans were about his mission, God kind of calls him a name. He says, you're a fool. You're a fool. Really? You're just going to get all those crops, you're going to build this huge barn, and then you're just going to sit back and eat, drink, and be merry? You're a fool. Why would God call him that? Well, what he found out in the story is because death came way before retirement. Like his soul was demanded the very night that he celebrated that here's my big plan, and his soul was taken. And so Jesus tells the story, and then he kind of ends again with the takeaways in verse 21. He says, that's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So in other words, it's foolish for you and I today in 2025 to build our lives on stuff and on money and possessions and prestige. It is foolish, God says. Life isn't about the abundance of possessions. So if life is not about the abundance of possessions, then what is life about? What should a life look like? What should my life consist of? Opposite of what the world says, what does God's word say? Let me give you four quick things. Number one, our life is defined by who we belong to, not what we own. Our life is defined by who we belong to, not what we own. Paul said this to the church in Corinth. He said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And then look at this. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. Church, let me say this. If you have a relationship with Jesus, if you're striving to live for your life for him, and you understand this, the blood of Jesus was spilled for you, and that should be your defining trait. Think about that. You should be known for the fact that you live your life for Christ. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you never mess up. But we should be known for the fact that God is my Lord and Savior, and I'm striving to live for him. And that is just the opposite of what the world teaches, right? The world teaches be known for your bank account, be known for your business savvy, be known for your intellect, be known for all of this stuff. And Jesus says, belonging to me, belonging to the family of God is greater than owning the world. The rich fool that we see here, he had everything except for a relationship with God. And so I think it's very, very easy to understand that possessions, they might give us comfort, but Jesus gives us identity. And listen to me today. I think we have the biggest identity crisis. It's something that I talk about with my kids all the time. And every single one of us in here can get caught in this trap, right? Somebody says, man, I like your car. Okay, yeah. I like your house. I like your shoes. I like your clothes. I like what you did there. And we can kind of start feeling ourselves, right? And sooner rather than later, we start understanding like, hey, if I do this, people will like me. And we start building this false identity. That's something that every single one of us in here need to be on guard from. I learned this as a little kid. Back in the day when I was young, middle school age, we used to go to the skating rink, all right? Anybody used to go to the skating rink? Anybody? Okay, some of you like over 40, like some of these kids are like, what are you talking about? So we used to go to the skating rink. The name of the skating rink where I went was Champs, all right? And every Friday night, we wanted to go to Champs. And I'll never forget my dad, and he would drive us to Champs, and it would be me and my sister and my stepbrother and stepsister, and we'd have a few friends, like six or seven of us, right? And we just couldn't wait on Friday night to get to Champs. Well, I didn't grow up with much in life, like a lot of hand-me-downs, a lot of stuff like that. And let me show you the car that my dad drove to Champs, okay? This was my dad's vehicle, all right? This is a Datsun. Some of you guys don't even know what that means, all right? Now, just imagine with me six or seven teenagers in that car right there. I was one of the younger ones. I was one of the littler ones. So my seat was about right here in this hatchback, okay? That's where I had to sit. And so you guys probably know where I'm going with this. When we were getting ready to go to Champs and we were in the parking lot, everybody in the car would be like, just let us out here. We don't want to go up to the door. And so my dad was so kind, he just drove us right to the front door, all right? Now, we are six and seven teenagers piling out of this car. I can't get out until someone comes and opens the hatchback, all right? Now, this car was a hand-me-down, and so our hatchback didn't work. So we had a 2x4 that we sat in there to keep the hatchback from falling back down and hitting. So just imagine the embarrassment I had as a young boy getting out of this vehicle in front of everybody at Champs Roller Rink. I learned very, very quickly that, man, my identity is not right. I mean, these people are going to think I'm weird. This is so embarrassing. It was awful. It was awful. I thought, man, people are going to think less of me. People aren't going to think I'm as cool as if I pulled up in a Corvette, right? And what happened was my identity wasn't set in who Jesus said I was. And so listen to this. It was mangled by what the world said it should be. Let me say that again. My identity wasn't in what Jesus said it should be. It was mangled by what the world said it should be. And maybe for some of you, that's where you sit today. The reality of your identity is it's not in Christ. It's in your stuff. It's in your business. It's in your life. It's in your house. It's in everything that you think you can accumulate. And Jesus is telling us this story that he wants your life to be defined by him. That's the takeaway. I told you, it's about money, it's about wealth, but it's so much more than that. Jesus wants you and I to define our life by him, because when you know whose you are, you stop chasing what you think you need. When you know who you belong to, you stop chasing what the world says you need. You remember that verse in Mark chapter 8? What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? For so many of us, just like this rich fool, our life isn't defined by what God says, it's defined by what the world says. And so number one, what does a life rich in Jesus look like? Our life is defined by who we belong to, not what we own. Number two, our life is measured by eternal impact, not earthly accumulation. Now, this one's hard because we gotta really change our mindset when it comes to this. Because Jesus says, Hey, buddy, those barns, they're going to rot. Everything in there, that's going to be gone. But the kingdom of God is going to last forever. Now, I want to make this very clear today, okay? I'm not standing here telling you it's wrong to have stuff. Don't hear that message this morning. It is not wrong for you to have stuff, but it is wrong for stuff to have you. It is not wrong for you to succeed, but it is tragic for you to succeed at things that don't matter. So the question becomes, am I building my kingdom or am I building his kingdom? Am I striving to live my life and see that the things that I'm investing in have eternal consequences? Or is it just going to be sitting in a barn and it's going to rot, and when I die, it's going to be divided up and it's all going to be gone? What kind of impact are you having on the kingdom of God today, church? Is what you're doing with what God gave you, is it going to have an eternal difference? C.T. Studd was a missionary. I love his name is C.T. Studd because he really is a stud. But he said it like this. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. our lives, those that are rich, God, as Jesus is saying in this parable, are measured by an eternal impact. Number three, our life is rooted in purpose, not possessions. A life rich towards God is rooted in purpose, not possessions. This isn't anything new. You can pretty much listen to any TED Talk or business leaders. Purpose in life drives joy way much more than possessions ever could. When you wake up every day and you're living out the purpose that God created, why? Because stuff fades, right? Stuff breaks, stuff gets outdated, but purpose keeps your soul alive. Purpose keeps you pushing. So church, what's your purpose? The way I love to think about it is this. What's your why? Why did God create you? I promise you it's not for no reason. I promise you it's not to take up space and breathe air and then die. God created you for a reason. So what's your why? You were made for a mission. You weren't made for materialism. You weren't made for possessions. You were made for a mission. And if you find yourself, I think this is where a lot of us can fall. If you find yourself in this cycle and you're just constantly, perpetually feeling unfulfilled and empty, could it be that you're not living out of the purpose that God created you for? Maybe your collection of stuff is coming before your calling from God. And listen to me today, church. Stuff will never fill the places that are meant for a Savior. Stuff will never fill the void in your life that is meant for a Savior. A man with purpose may have less, but he lives more fully. Paul said it like this, for me, listen to what Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So our life needs to be rooted in purpose, not possessions. Number four, last one. Our life is fulfilled by relationships, not riches. It's about relationships, not riches. The rich fool had full barns, but an empty soul. And what our heart truly craves, it's not stuff, it's not a thing. What the void in our lives, what it truly is, it's meant as a person. It's meant to be filled from a person, and his name is Jesus. And abundance in this life is found in walking with Jesus. I mean, Jesus himself gave us this promise. In John 10:10, some of you are gonna remember why he came to earth. He says, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but why did Jesus come? I came so that you would have life, and then look at this, and have it in abundance. Not just, coast your way through, hope everything. No, he says, I want you to have abundant life. And life is found and fulfilled in a relationship with Jesus. Let me share this quick story with you about a janitor named Mr. Eddie. There was an old janitor named Mr. Eddie who worked at a seminary. He was a quiet man, always early, always smiling, always doing his job. He didn't have much, but every student who met him would say, there's something different about Mr. Eddie. One day the professor asked, hey, Mr. Eddie, how do you stay so joyful doing such a humble job? And he said this, I don't work for the seminary. I serve the King. Every mop stroke is worship. And one day he's gonna look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what I'm living for. He didn't have a full bank account, but he had a rich soul. And everybody who met him could tell. Our life will only be full through a relationship with Christ. So yes, God gives us this story about the rich fool, but it's so much more than about money. It's about living our lives in a way that we understand that abundance and fulfillment and purpose is not found in possessions. It's found in those who are rich toward God. What does a life that is rich toward God look like? It's defined by him. It's measured by the internal, eternal impact. It's rooted in purpose, and it's fulfilled by a relationship with him. I started this morning with the question. Has your relationship with God shaped, changed, transformed the way you view money? And my goal today is very simple, is that we all walk out of here with a view of stuff, with a view of money, with a view of possessions that is shaped by God. And I think the real question today is, life is not about how much do I have. Life is about, well, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? So I like to leave you guys on Sundays or in opportunities when I get to stand in front of you. I like to leave with just a homework or a little bit of challenge to you to take home throughout the week. Because if you just walk out of here today and get back into the rat race tomorrow, what's the point, right? And so I want to throw these three questions up. And these are just questions that I want to encourage you to pray over. I want to encourage you to ponder over. I want to encourage you just to chew on these and ask God to reveal these answers to you. Number one, God, where am I storing up treasure for myself instead of being rich toward you? Yeah, today we're talking about money, but maybe it's your time. I'm storing up treasure in my time, in my energy, in my comfort. Invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart and say, God, where am I living for me instead of being rich toward you? Where do I need to recenter my life around your mission and not mine? The second question, is my life making an eternal impact or just earthly progress? Now, I get it. For some of you who maybe you're a little older, maybe this question hits a little harder than the younger ones in the room. But young people, students, this is a big question for you right now. For most of you who prayerfully, you have 60, 70, 80 more years on this earth. And I just want to challenge you, make an eternal impact. Success is fine, right? But significance in God's kingdom is the goal. So my prayer is, God, whatever you've given me, how do I use it to have influence? How do I use it to make an eternal difference in things that matter forever? God, show me the things that I'm investing in that are like the barns that are gonna rot. Number three, am I defining my life by what I have or who I belong to? Man, this one's hard. So many of us wake up every day with a need to impress, the need to perform, the need to compare. We wake up with this identity crisis, and God says it very clearly, those who are rich towards me, those who are defined by me, maybe God is calling you out to declare once and for all, Jesus, you're enough. I don't know your situation this morning. I don't know what exactly it is that you're striving for, but I know that God calls us to not being rich in possessions, but to have abundance through him. And so, church, today, I just want to give you that opportunity just to spend a moment. We're going to leave here in just a few minutes, and we're going to go on about our days. But right now in this moment, I want to just offer you a little challenge. All over this room, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? This is just going to take a minute. I've asked our team, they're going to sing one more song. And I want them to kind of sing it over you. Because I want these next few minutes just to be between you and the Lord. I promise you, lunch is going to be great. The rest of the day is going to be great. But for these next few moments, what's God speaking to you about? Is there some conviction going on in your heart? And just take a moment. Take this time right now and respond to what God's calling you to. If you need someone to pray with you, our prayer team's here. You can just lift your hand, whatever that is. If you need someone to take God's word and walk with you through some questions, man, that's why we're here. But would you just, for these next few moments, just listen to what God's speaking. Listen to what God's saying. It doesn't matter if this is your first time at City Hope or not. God's a big God. And maybe you're here today because you needed to hear this message. Maybe you're here today because you haven't been living out of your purpose and you feel unfulfilled and you feel empty, and God's calling you back to that purpose today. whatever it is. Let's just take a moment and be still and know that He is God. As our worship team just sings over you, just be obedient. There's freedom in this place. If you want to stand and sing, if you want to raise your hands, you want to sit and just pray, you want to grab your spouse, your kids, whatever that is, there's freedom in this place. Let's just respond to what God has for us today. Father, bless these next few minutes. Help us to concentrate, to stay focused on what it is you're calling us to do. It's in your precious and holy name I pray. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.